Hey everyone, Eric here. I am the host of the Unseen Paranormal Podcast. Join me for a new episode every Wednesday as I delve into the unseen world with historians, authors, researchers, and investigators as we try to understand and make sense of the paranormal. You can listen to past and future episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or at unseenparanormalpodcast.com. Please like the show on Facebook and share with your friends. And remember, some of the scariest things are unseen.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Southern Ghost Stories, where we take you on a ghost tour to some of the most haunted places in the South. I'm your host Chelsea, along with Alan.
Hello.
Today, we're going to talk about the Childress House in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Alan, can you go ahead and give us some background about the building?
Located on the corner of North Academy and Lytle Street off the square in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, you'll find an old Greek Revival-style home that is now a popular Airbnb weekend getaway destination. At first glance, the house is quite unassuming, but when you dig into the house's history, it's quietly one of the most underrated historic homes in Middle Tennessee. The house was built in 1847 and changed hands several times until it was acquired by John Whitsett Childress. Childress was a respected attorney and businessman who was a director of the Nashville and Chattanooga Railroad, as well as a president of several banks. He also held the honorary title of Major. During the Mexican-American War, Childress formed a militia to fight in Mexico. For his efforts, he received the title, but he wasn't allowed to fight. But why, you ask? Well, Major Childress also happened to be the brother of Sarah Childress Polk. She was the wife of James K. Polk, the 11th President of the United States.
By the time her brother had bought the home in Murfreesboro, Sarah had long been a widow as her husband died from cholera in 1849, but she still visited her sibling from time to time in the home. As you can imagine, a visit by a former first lady was a big deal, and her presence would have had the upper crust of Murfreesboro falling all over themselves to be seen with the former first lady.
After Childress's death in 1884, the home remained in the family until 1900, when it was sold to P.R. Miller, a local undertaker and furniture builder. Miller turned the first floor of the home into a gallery and sold furniture he made. He also turned the original kitchen located in the outbuilding into a large garage where he built caskets, and he also kept a hearse.
When a tornado struck the house in 1913, the home sustained a lot of damage. Miller remodeled the house and updated in the Colonial Revival style, which was popular at the time. In 1927, the Newsom family acquired the house. In 1949, the youngest Newsom daughter, Alice Ray, bought her family's home and eventually had it added to the National Register of Historic Places. After Alice's death, in 2015, the house was bought by a local woman and turned into an Airbnb.
While I was working on Southern Ghost Stories Murfreesboro, Spirit of Stones River, I drove by the antebellum home and happened to see someone working in the front yard. I pulled over and introduced myself to the owner of the property. As we talked, she told me she hadn't seen anything out of the ordinary in the historic house. Yet, she did mention that one of her guests had felt the presence of a woman in the home. I made arrangements with her to conduct an investigation of the property. 2 weeks later, Mark Walsh of Rutherford County Paranormal and I met in the home to see what we could find. Mark set up shop in the parlor with his geoport and immediately was getting responses to questions. I set my EMF meter on a coffee table and it immediately spiked to red. As Mark was talking with the entity about slavery, I chimed in, "Did you know we had a black man as president a few years ago?" Out of nowhere, a voice came from the geoport that said, "Say what?" I then asked, "Who is the president of the United States?" And a voice broke through the static that said, "Polk."
"Who's the president?"
"Polk." "Yep, I said Polk."
That was a strange response, since Polk was the brother-in-law of the man who had owned the house in the 19th century. We continued trying to interact with whatever was there and asked if we could stay for a little while. The geoport began to make some sounds, then a very clear, maybe not, came through, followed by what sounded like laughter.
Can we stay here and talk to you?
Maybe not.
After making contact, I asked, "Are you a soldier?" And the spirit replied, "Yes."
"Are you a soldier?"
As I sat in a chair behind the piano, my EMF meter fluctuated several times in the back part of the parlor. When I asked, "Is that you touching my machine?" a voice from the geoport replied that it was. The EMF meter eventually stopped lighting up until we began talking about the Polk family. Once we brought up Major Childress and Sarah Childress Polk, we watched the lights dance back and forth from orange to red for several minutes. Eventually, the geoport went silent, and my EMF meter became nothing but a paperweight. With nothing going on, Mark and I decided to venture out to the outbuildings. We first went into the outbuilding that I had visited earlier, which had an underground basement. According to legend, the basement contained an entrance to a secret tunnel that ran across a street to an old brothel. The entrance was bricked up many years ago, and it's now just a curiosity to the owners. While in the basement, Mark and I placed his geoport on a table in the corner. I placed my EMF meter next to a digital recorder in the center of the small room. As we were talking and asking questions, I got a sudden spike on my EMF meter, but it quickly went back down. Mark asked, "What's in the tunnel?" Then a voice came through the geoport, as clear as day, saying, "Slaves."
"What's in the tunnel?"
"Went to the woman's closet. I don't know whatever happened."
We eventually made our way upstairs to the main floor and tried to make contact, with no luck. We then moved to the old outdoor kitchen that served as the undertaker's workshop. We set up equipment facing a large fireplace that was once used to make all the meals in the home. Mark and I began to engage the spirits by talking to them about what they were making for dinner. As we tried to get a conversation started, I asked them if they wanted some bacon and eggs. Almost immediately, we hear the word bacon.
"I'm hungry. What are we eating?"
"We'll make some bacon and eggs."
"Bacon.
Making bacon?"
I also asked what color shirt Mark was wearing. I actually asked this in two places on the property. Each time a voice responded, "Black." He was wearing a black shirt.
"What color is Mark's shirt?" "Did it say black?"
"Sounded like it, huh?"
Our next stop was the other outbuilding next to the kitchen. It was likely a workshop or possibly a slave quarters. As we tried to make contact, I asked if there were any children present. Although nothing was picked up by the geoport, I picked up a very distinct EVP saying, "They can't hear us."
"Are there any children here?"
"Here it is one more time.
Are there any children here?"
We didn't pick up any other activity in the room, so we made our way back to the parlor to visit with the owner and wind down our investigation. At the end of the investigation, we made a last-ditch effort to see if anything would communicate with us. By this point, we weren't getting much activity, so I pulled out my phone and played the Union fight song, "The Battle Cry of Freedom." My EMF meter suddenly lit up like the 4th of July. When the song stopped, the EMF meter went cold. I attempted to play Dixie and a few other songs that could have been popular with the Confederacy, but there was no response. As I went through my findings in the days after the investigation, I tried to decipher what exactly was haunting the Childress Ray house. I hate to use the word haunting, because nothing is really bothering anyone in the historic home. The owner put it best when she mentioned there's a presence in the home. There is something there, but it's not harmful.
Not much is known about the house during the Civil War. Yet, given its proximity to the square, the stately home was likely used by the North who occupied Murfreesboro for most of the war. The antebellum home may have served as a hospital or living quarters for high-ranking officers. At the very least, the house was probably used as barracks for federal soldiers at some point during the early 1860s. Perhaps someone was injured in Forrest's raid or the Battle of Stones River, and they perished in the home.
I think it's also likely that a former slave remains on the property from years gone by. There are records that Major Childress owned slaves before the war, but he didn't buy the home until 1874. By then, slavery had long since been abolished.
While it's not known if the home's previous owners held slaves, it is highly probable, given the fact that they were both men of means and owned such nice homes before the Civil War. They weren't necessarily planters, but on the low end, one or two slaves probably helped maintain the property during the early to mid-19th century.
Given everything I've learned about the Childress Ray House, I would definitely try to book a room in October.
We hope you enjoyed our ghost tour of the Childress House. Please check out our website, southernghoststories.com, where you can find old podcasts and the books we've written. Also, feel free to leave a comment or send us a message on our Facebook or Instagram accounts. Let us know about any creepy experiences you may have had. And feel free to give us some ideas on new locations you'd like to hear about on future shows.
And those books that Chelsea mentioned are Southern Ghost Stories Historical Hauntings, Haunted Hotels, as well as Southern Ghost Stories Ghost of Gallatin. We also started a Tennessee Hauntings Facebook page, so check that out too. In just 3 months, it's grown to over 6,000 people, so that's pretty exciting.
Is it exciting because your voice says otherwise?
Be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Those reviews are quite helpful, and we appreciate everyone who's taken a few minutes to do it for us. Please come take another ghost tour with us next time as we head up north to talk about the Boston Athenaeum in Boston, Massachusetts. Why, you ask? Well, what?
No, it's just funny because you're struggling with that. You should say it as like, but why do you ask? Instead of just, why you ask?
Okay.
You should put some emotion into it.
I will find some emotion and I will put that into that
Dig
sentence.
Deep.
Thank you. But why, you ask? What?
That is emotion?
That is... That could win an Academy Award.
Okay.
But why, you ask?
That was good.
That was good, and you flubbed it up by laughing at me.
Sorry. The Antebellum home may have served as a hospital or living quarters for high-ranking officers. At the very least, the house was probably used as barracks.
Barracks. It's probably used for Barack Obama, who visited the town while he was in office.